This episode is proudly brought to you by Moomoo, the Money Magazine online broker, Rising Star Gold winner, providing highly competitive brokerage rates in Australia. Moomoo offers you 10 chances to win one of six US shares, valued at up to a total of $3,300 for eligible deposits. Simply click the link in the description to claim your shares. Game of chance offered under New South Wales permit TP/01819. T's and C's apply.
Shares for beginners. Phil Muscatello and FinPods are authorised reps of MoneySherpa. The information in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't take into account your personal situation.
But I think all investors can do this. And it's just taking the notion, if you want to outperform the market, you can. But you really need to pay attention to what's going on in the macro, what's going on big picture, what's going on government policy, supply and demand that impacts commodity prices. You've got to roll up your sleeves and do the due diligence. Otherwise, you're probably best just in, you know, the S&P 500 and ASX 200. You're probably best just in ETFs.
G'day and welcome back to Shares for Beginners. I'm Phil Muscatello. How can you screen for companies that consistently show a profit? It's the dream, isn't it, Jessica?
It is.
Why should you look at the bigger picture to decide on which companies to add to your portfolio? Joining me today is Jessica Amir. G'day, Jessica.
Hello.
Thanks for coming. It's great to have you in the studio, live and face-to-face.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I don't get to do these interviews too often because everything's remote these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to be with you in the same room.
It's great to look you in the windows of your soul, your eyeballs.
Oh, that's spooky. Jessica Amir is the senior analyst at Moomoo. She has over 15 years of experience in financial markets and joined Moomoo from Saxo Markets and Bell Direct. So how's it going at Moomoo? Tell us a little bit about Moomoo.
It's pretty good. Lots of fun, very quick moving company. We're mainly a tech company. So we were founded by one of the 18 directors of Tencent. And Tencent is, of course, China's biggest tech company. So that basically shows you that tech and AI is kind of at the forefront of what we do. So our app is really powerful and it draws in a lot of people in Asia. And that's how we've become, you know, the biggest company or the most used app in Hong Kong and Singapore. Yeah, it's great. It's great to work with the Chinese company, which I've never done before. And yeah, lots of fun.
So you're working for Moomoo and we've got a couple of special deals to mention to listeners before we start getting into the meat of the podcast and talking about how to make money in the stock market. Now, the first thing is when you open up a brokerage account, you're going to have a cash account where you're going to put your money, and it's always good to have a bonus of some free shares. So tell us first of all about the deposit amount that's available to people who sign up with the link that will be in the episode notes.
We actually pay 6.8%. So we'll give you 6.8% return on your uninvested cash while it's sitting there. So that's without even doing anything. So you can park it there while you're deciding what to buy, or you don't even want to buy anything, just park it there and get 6.8%. So you'll get that for 180 days and we'll pay that 6.8% as long as it's not above $100,000. And then also, if you do deposit, let's say $2,000 into your Moomoo account and you hold it there for 30 days, you'll receive 10 free stocks. And that value could be up to $3,300, depending on a few things like spinning.
Terms and conditions.
And you've got to like spin a little wheel and then basically you'll get a chance to win up to $3,300 worth of shares. But
and these are US shares, aren't they?
Yeah, US shares. So US shares, including Tesla, etc. So yeah, there's some great chances to, I guess, get a bit more bang for your buck when you're investing and signing up.
Fantastic. Some free shares, always good, and a great interest rate to go ahead with.
Yep. I love the interest rate, and who doesn't like free shares?
Moomoo really want to get into the market, don't they?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, we can do this because we're the biggest, most used app in Hong Kong and Singapore, and I think it's only a matter of time before we start really gaining huge traction here.
So we wanted to talk about the basics of investing and just some of the things that you need to know when you first start looking at the markets. And I know we talked about not talking about lithium, but then lithium has been popping over the last week by 10%. Mm. And I just think that there's also a warning here for listeners not to get too caught up in a story because they've heard about lithium, because there's many reasons just to be suspicious about it, about commodity cycles, the fact that there's other commodities to be looking at. Mm. And really, it's not easy to invest directly in stocks, especially speculative miners.
Totally. So with specy companies, you know, they're specy by name, specy by nature. They're not making a profit. So when the tides change, you realize who's been swimming naked, and Warren Buffett literally said that. And what I mean by that is, you know, we saw interest rates pop up because inflation was at 16-year highs. And that also put price pressure on lithium. And then also, you know, the supply and demand dynamics changed for lithium. But it basically, you know, illustrated that if you're in a company that's specy, not making any profit, when the tides change, i.e. when costs go up, a stock is going to face price pressure simply because their costs are up and they're not making a profit. So it's really hard for a company to maintain momentum. So then we need to come back to basics and think about, well, what drives a company's shares and its earnings growth? And so in times of financial distress, we just need to remember that.
What's a good way of looking at earnings growth, or finding out that number about earnings growth? Because this is not just earnings growth in the past, this is earnings growth in the future as well, isn't it?
It's really hard to find, actually. So I guess what we look at is consensus. And so, you know, what's the market telling us where their earnings will be? What's the trajectory like over the next couple of quarters and year? And what are their profits looking like ahead? And then probably the third thing is, besides looking at what the market or the average analyst is telling us, pay attention to the company's own outlook. Like, it's not that hard to look at their quarterly report or the annual report to see what they're saying. And so, I mean, a good app, i.e. our app, if I can do a little plug, our app, which has been, I guess, touted as a very unique app in Australia by fund managers, by the way, that we actually share consensus earnings estimates for the year ahead. And this is a really great indication of a company's, you know, profitability increasing. Can its earnings grow and outpace its costs? And that's the sweet spot. That's what you need for sustainable share price growth. If you are an investor, you want to be backing a company with earnings growth. Trading, completely different. So earnings growth, you really need to look at projections. And again, our app's got that.
But this speaks to the importance of taking your investing seriously. You really do have to dig into the numbers, don't you? Because you don't want to fall in love with a story. And also, if the numbers change, you want to be nimble and to cut your losses as well, because this is all reflected in these kind of numbers that you're referring to, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So the market typically tells you, by looking at their share price growth, the market tells you what a company's future is going to look like. And so that's where momentum comes into play. And when the chips go down and out of favor, and when a trade or investment that you're in starts turning negative, you quickly realize, well, hang on a minute, what's my strategy here? Holy crap. And if you've gone into an investment or a stock and you haven't mapped out a strategy, you haven't got a target for when you're going to take profit and walk away, or you haven't got a target for when you're going to cut your losses and walk away, because I bet you there's better opportunities out there. There's always an opportunity cost when you're investing. So you really need to pay attention to a company's outlook. You need to pay attention to, secondly, the macroeconomic picture. What is going on with the supply? What is going on with demand? And macroeconomics is also interest rates. You know, what the market is telling us when interest rates are going to be cut, or if they're going to stay higher for longer. And then, of course, so you need to pay attention to the company's fundamentals. Are they growing market share, or are they losing it like Tesla because there's more competitors out there? So I guess those three things are probably really important to look at for a company.
Well, let's have a look at the macro, because you like to look at the macro first before you have a thesis for investing. Just give us a couple of examples about that and how you think about the macro.
So I always say where macro goes, funds flow. And so what is macro? So people often think it's just interest rates or just government policy, which it's not. So macro also includes, you know, like the precursor to what happens with interest rates, and that's inflation. So we know most central banks, they want to combat inflation, i.e. they don't want people to pay higher prices, so they rise interest rates. So we need to think about interest rates. And then also we need to think about unemployment. What is happening with unemployment? And why do we look at that? Well, it kind of dictates, you know, what's going to happen with consumer spending. US, Australia, like 30%, or rather 70% of GDP is the consumer's spending power. So when the consumer is strong, you know, unemployment still kind of at lows now, then that will kind of tell you what stocks could do well in the future. And so that's why consumer spending stocks are doing quite well, moving up off their lows. And then another example of looking at the macro picture is where spending is going. So we know, looking at projections, AI and chips and software is probably going to take a lot of spending at the government level and also at the company level. So that's why Nvidia shares have been all the rage.
And you've been talking about Nvidia for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right, before this run-up.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I started speaking about Nvidia a year ago and also Uber a year ago, and there's some of the strongest performers that we've seen over the past year to date, and also the past 6 months. That goes back to the fundamentals, you know, where macro goes, the funds flow, I mean investment. So big fund managers will flow money into where they see a strong amount of forward spending, or when the tides change on a company's fundamentals as well, i.e. Uber.
Tell us about Uber, because you've been looking at Uber for a while as well.
So Uber was kind of like, I don't know, can I say a dog in the investment world? That's pretty harsh, but they were unprofitable for a long time. So everyone kind of jumps into Ubers, but there were lots of competitors coming into the market. Uber was unprofitable for a long time, over a decade. And then what happened is they decided, hey, we need to really change things up here. We're not really loved by the investment world. And you can't get into the S&P 500 unless you've made four quarters of profits.
I didn't realize that that was a prerequisite. I thought it was just market capitalization, but you also have some sort of record of profit to be in the S&P 500. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can typically see what company might be going into the S&P 500 if you track a company's market cap. So we started to see that Uber really turned around, and that's because they sold off their automated vehicle division for $4 billion. They started gaining market share. They moved to a subscription model. So their clients became really sticky. They attracted new drivers, and that meant that they could earn more money and grow their earnings at a quicker pace. And then they recorded two quarters of profit, and then the investment world were like, hang on, this is going to be good, because they need four quarters of profit growth, emphasis on growth and profits, to get into, you know, the pin-up index, the most bought index in the world, and that's the S&P 500.
The 500 greatest companies in the world.
That's it. That's it. And I guess the only index that has got a history of recovering from a bear market. That's over time, of course. So, yeah, Uber turned around their business, and Mamushka, they went into the S&P 500 in December. And then once a company's in the S&P 500, we all know with superannuation guarantee payments in Australia, in the US, UK, that means that the S&P 500 is typically invested into every quarter by the big instos, the superannuation houses. So every single quarter, the S&P 500 is bought and rebalanced. And so vis-a-vis S&P 500 added Uber, and then its shares popped up and rallied after the entry, and they have continued to move up.
Because you really like that. You like the movements in and out of indexes or indices, don't you?
Yeah. So I think it's a really good way for investors to kind of get a head start. And there, we say the word arbitrary. So investors can make an arbitrary move simply by a stock going into the S&P 500 or into the ASX 200 and vis-a-vis out. So when you know a company is losing market cap, which you spoke about, we know that probably as soon as, you know, you can see, but you can just do a Google search to see, you know, the biggest 200 companies in Australia, the biggest companies in the US. And once the tides change and once a company starts to lose market cap and they get to the bottom of the S&P 500 or the ASX 200, you know that the index maker, the S&P 500, or rather Dow Jones Indices, is going to push them out when they do their quarterly rebalances. So you can get a head start and go, okay, well, so that company's lost market size. They're probably going to be kicked out or added. I might get a head start and buy that or sell that before it goes in. So, yeah, I think for newbie investors, it's really worthwhile to just check market cap and also S&P Dow Jones Indices quarterly rebalance.
And profitability.
Profitability is definitely key. Profit growth and earnings growth drives share price growth. So that's, absolutely key.
Let's get a little bit micro now. Ingham's chicken.
Yeah.
And the price of wheat. I love that story that you tell.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I think Ingham's has been overlooked by a lot of investors. And so when we shop at Woolies or Coles or IGA, I can bet you that the chicken that you pick up and buy or the turkey that you buy for Christmas, or if you like eating turkey all year round, that's good for you, then I can guarantee you that Ingham's actually produce that chicken. So the biggest cost of rising a bird or a chicken is the wheat price. And we know the wheat price has continued to hit record all-time lows. It hit record all-time highs in the Ukraine war because we know like the food basket in that region was essentially cut off. And so prices mamushka went up, but now the woes have been solved and there's a lot of excess supply. And so the wheat price is down. So vis-a-vis, that means Ingham's costs are much lower. And then also think about Ingham's, they're selling turkey, as we said. A big cost of turkey, of growing a turkey, is soybeans. And so the soybean price is also down quite considerably. It's down 40% from its highs. It's not as down as wheat, but simply Ingham's costs are down. Their prices are up that they can charge. The poultry prices are up. So thinking about the basics, that means that this company is able to grow their earnings. And then diving to the detail, if you actually had a look at the company's ASX announcements, again, really key, you'd see that, you know, they're future-proofing the business. Rent prices, rent costs, they're not going down. I don't know what landlord is going to put their rent prices down. So I really like that Ingham's has future-proofed their business and they've kind of cut out their rent costs. And so they're buying the land that they have their premises on. So I like that. So yeah, there's lots of ways to skin a cat, but thinking about the commodity prices and how they move, i.e. wheat prices, soybeans, and you can simply track these prices on tradingeconomics.com. Like, it's not hard. And
really? So you just go to this website and it tells you what's going on with commodity prices and then you can sort of extend your thesis out of that.
Yeah. So I'd look at that to see what's going on with commodities and then look at the best performers in the ASX 200. Again, thinking about what we were talking about earlier, what is the market telling us might be the best performer in the future? What is the market telling us?
Is that the momentum that you're looking at then?
That's momentum, yes, spot on.
So you're looking at the price action and seeing that totally. The price is going up over a period of time?
Absolutely. Mm. So you might see consistent share price growth over a week, over a month, and you know, well, hang on a minute, something's going on. And then so Ingham's earlier in the year was one of the best performers year to date. So you know that they're kind of turning
this something going
around.
On there. Yeah,
spot on.
Gee, this is what you do as an analyst, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's just really interesting that you've sort of drawn some of these points together that have appeared on your radar and come up with a thesis out of it. I love the way that you're doing that.
Oh, well, thank you. But I think all investors can do this. And it's just taking the notion, if you want to outperform the market, you can, but you really need to pay attention to what's going on in the macro. You know, what's going on big picture, what's going on government policy, supply and demand that impacts commodity prices. Yeah, you've got to roll up your sleeves and do the due diligence. Otherwise, you're probably best just in, you know, the S&P 500 and ASX 200. You're probably best just in ETFs.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Moomoo, the Money Magazine online broker, Rising Star Gold winner. Moomoo is offering 6.8% on your uninvested cash balance for 180 days. Simply click on the link in the description and sign up for this great deal. T's and C's apply. So your research and analysis is throwing up a few companies that are going to be responding to some of these macro trends. Tell us about those.
So I think it goes back to being an investor. What are you looking at? Is your strategy to invest or is it to swing trade? So let's say you're an investor, so you need to become observational, pay attention to what's going on. So you read the news, you look at, like, you know, the best performers, you look at where momentum is. And so that'll kind of tell you, where do I start? And so we know that if you've been reading the news and paying attention, there's a lot of a push into going green by 2050. Australia's behind. It's a no-brainer. And then so recently we saw the coalition announce that they want to use nuclear power as our main source of energy. That's the only way Australia can apparently go green by 2050. So it's not just Australia that's doing that. So just staying on this sector for a sec.
Yeah, because COP28 recently, a lot of countries did sign up to greatly increasing their nuclear capacity, didn't they?
Totally. Mm. Absolutely. So really interesting, Phil. So actually in the US, I don't know if you know, but 1 in 3 households actually now switch their lights on by nuclear power.
Wow.
What? Isn't that amazing?
So Homer Simpson does have an effect after all on, yeah. on the energy consumption of the United States.
Yeah. But the narrative has really changed for uranium. And so we know there's not much supply of uranium. Sure, there is plenty of supply, but because of ESG policy, we can't literally mine everything out of the ground. And so demand is rising because of that government push. So it's Australia isn't really driving the demand, but we'll catch up later. It's the US, it's Canada.
But we've got huge supplies of uranium, haven't we?
Yeah, the biggest in the world in our backyard, but we can't really dig it up yet. So the government has kind of vetoed that. And so the coalition is kind of pushing for that to flip and change. Mm. Believe it or not, it's the cleanest, greenest source of nuclear power that mines less resources out of Mother Earth, and it's more dense. So one pellet of uranium is equivalent to, you know, one barrel of oil.
Yeah, it's incredibly energy dense, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I just wanted to say at this point as well that last year's Miss America, I don't think Miss America has got the standing that it had years ago, but she was a nuclear engineer as well.
Ooh.
And she has spent her time as Miss America. She's handed on the title now, but she spent her time promoting nuclear power and doing a lot of photo shoots at nuclear power plants.
Oh, I love that. Well, I haven't had a photo shoot at a nuclear power plant. I have at a gold mine, but that's another story. But staying on nuclear power, also we know those three countries, the US, Japan and Canada, want to be heavily reliant on nuclear power and use it as their main energy source by 2050. And so think about that. And then so you look at, you know, what on earth is the biggest investment in uranium? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just type that into Google and you'd see URA, that ETF, is the most bought ETF in the world that invests in some of the biggest uranium plays. So that's uranium. And then thinking about other sectors that are doing well, AI and tech is going to be, I guess, our generation's biggest shift of increasing productivity, and it'll be the biggest source of innovation, and we'll see a lot of funds go there. So when I talk about funds, the compound annual growth rate of spending in hardware and software is 100%. So 100% revenue growth is what this sector is expected to see till 2032. You can't make that up. There's no other sector that is seeing this projection of revenue spending.
So can I just focus on that figure for a moment? This is the amount that economies will be spending on artificial intelligence and tech. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct. Mm. Correct.
Because often we hear compound annual growth rate for something like, you know, the earnings for a company, for example. But this is just applying that same metric to the amount of dosh that's actually going to be spent supplying and building this new infrastructure and world that we're living in.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's at a company level. So at a company level, we also know that the average company is only spending 1% of their budget on AI software and hardware, and that's expected to quadruple. And so, again, thinking about what companies can benefit from that. So it's data centers. So we need data centers. Oracle, the biggest data center company in the world. In Australia, we've got NextDC. So that would be a way to think about that. And also, we can't have all this AI push and AI innovation without chips. So NVIDIA is obviously the company in the spotlight at the minute, and they're increasing their costs for their pinup chip. But we know NVIDIA, everyone's like, oh, I missed the party on NVIDIA. Well, I don't think you have. I think that...
Really? Because that was going to be my next question, because, you know, we talked about uranium and the uranium price has been shooting up to the moon, and NVIDIA, of course. But
yeah.
you still believe that there's room for price to go keep going up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And so that's because AI and investment in chips is at a tipping point. So we know the majority of global chip demand is from data centers. And so big companies investing into data centers so they can, you know, store their data offside, and AI chips literally go into the data centers as well. But we haven't yet seen AI chip demand in other industries. So think about healthcare, think about cybersecurity, think about agriculture as well. So speaking about agriculture, John Deere is probably one of the biggest companies that's actually investing in AI and chips. So we're at a tipping point, and NVIDIA actually said this. NVIDIA's CEO said, you know, we're at a tipping point. And so diving into the company level now, NVIDIA also, the majority of their sales go into tech companies. So 40% of NVIDIA's revenue is the big tech companies. So think about Microsoft, think about Amazon, think about Alphabet, who's behind Google. So all these companies, they amount for the majority of NVIDIA's sales growth. And we know, again, thinking about where their sales growth is, can they increase their sales growth for the next quarter? Yes, it's guaranteed. So next quarter, which is this quarter, by the way, they're rolling out the H200 chip. And what on earth is the H200 chip? Well, we know the H100 that was behind OpenAI's ChatGPT. But this quarter, they're rolling out the new chip, H200, at a higher price target. And all these big tech companies, including the names that we just mentioned, and Oracle, they've all inked deals, they're in contracts to buy the H200 chip. Set a price target, a higher price target than H100, basically meaning that they're going to make more money. And again, they're probably going to move into other industries. So that's why NVIDIA's earnings and revenue growth, which is 200% revenue growth last quarter and the quarter before that, this momentum can probably continue.
And there's nothing that you can see getting in the way of that growth? Any supply chain problems, for example?
Yeah, so there's always competitors. So there's a smaller competitor that is basically doing AI chips. And yes, they do have some big tech companies as clients, but they don't really have the scalability and they don't really have the productivity that NVIDIA has. And what I mean by productivity is you put in an order, let's say, Phil, you started the next Amazon, you put in an order for the H200 chip. And so previously, you might get that chip in 11 months. So you put in an order and you'll get those chips on a pallet to you in 11 months' time. Now those chips are coming to you in 3 months. So they're turning out and pumping out chips at a quicker rate. So that means they're getting more immediacy of revenue and they're reducing costs at a company level. We don't really have that scale, and that's because they've got strong cash flows behind them and they can invest a lot of money to future-proof their business. Smaller up-and-coming AI chip companies, sure, they'll get customers. Can they take some market share from NVIDIA? Probably, but NVIDIA is the first comer. They've got those sticky big tech clients, and they'll probably stay for the foreseeable future with NVIDIA. Once you're onto a good thing, you typically don't peel away.
Profitability. It's so important. And,
yeah.
I just found that acronym, actually, that you're talking about, the S&P 500 only allowing profitable companies with four quarters of FPRIT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds good, yeah.
What's FPRIT stand for?
I don't know. I didn't even know it was an acronym.
Well, it's written here in your script. I don't know what's going on. We might have to make up an acronym for that.
Yeah, let's make up an acronym.
Okay, so let's talk about screening for profitable companies. How do you use Moomoo to screen for profitable companies?
So we've got a stock screener, and you can simply use that from our app. And then so under the US market tab, there's a selection of criteria, but you can simply add in profitability margin, earnings growth, market cap, and the PE ratio. PE is, you know, how much a company's stock is in comparison to their future earnings. So that'll then pump out a list of stocks that match your criteria. And then you'll see, Mamushka, here's a list of profitable companies in the US. And then you can dive into and just click on a company and get to know that company. And then you can see at a company level who is driving that customer's revenue growth. You can see, for example, you know, Apple, you can see the majority of their revenue is from iPhone sales. And then you can see who are the biggest investors in that company. Is Berkshire Hathaway in that company? Are they decreasing their positions in Apple, for example? So some really detailed stuff. And then again, future earnings, thinking about what we were speaking about earlier, future earnings, earnings growth drives share price growth. And you can have a look at the company's forward estimates for earnings. And it's in pictorial format. It's nice and easy, even for the beginner investors. Just at a quick glance, you can see what the market is telling you. Where will that earnings growth be? Is it going likely to go up? Is it likely to go down? And the same for profit, the same for cash flow, the same for costs. So you want to look at all these things probably before you invest in a company.
And I speak to so many great investors. And one of the strategies that I've heard is that they will find a company that they're very interested in. They make an informed decision to take a position in it, but they don't put all their money in it all at once. They'll do it over a period of time and over a number of quarters, which actually forces you to read the reports, to look at the profitability, and to look at these numbers that you as an analyst are doing all the time. Would you recommend that kind of approach? Is that something that you would look at doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what a lot of investment managers do. And same as you, I've spoken to a lot of investment managers and family offices or investment managers who manage mega scale family office funds. And so that's typically what we do. And that's also what I do. So for example, we spoke about Uber. You might put in a few bites and nibbles into Uber when they started producing consistent profits. It's also called dollar cost averaging. You might say allocate 10% or rather 5% of the position that you want to put in into Uber in November. And then when you consistently see a good metrics and good, I guess, announcements by the company, you might consistently then continue to invest in that company. And so I use investing as saving. So I'm consistently backing a company every paycheck that I like, that I've done due diligence on.
Mm. And conversely as well, you can, if the thesis change or something changes in the numbers, you're not fully invested as well.
Yep, totally. If the tide moves against you and there's better opportunities out there, you need to walk away from that. And that's all a part of risk management, and that's what the investment world do as well. And so when the momentum moves against you, you need to decide if you want to be making a loss or if profit is your number one game, and then pivot out of that and go into something else.
Have a plan B.
Absolutely, have a plan B. But I think trading also plays a big part of that. And so when you are investing, it's also important to look at the technical indicators. And shameless plug, Moomoo here. So on Moomoo's app, you don't have to be a technical analyst. You don't have to have done a master's of applied finance or done a technical analysis course. You can use apps like ours. And then before you take a position in a stock or before you buy a stock that you've done your research on, have a look at the technical indicators and then have a look at what the market is telling you for.
I'm quite surprised because there's a lot of people who are not fans in this industry of technical analysis. But I'm assuming that this is going to show you the momentum. Is this what you're looking for with technical analysis or with the tool that you're describing here?
Yeah, absolutely. So technical analysis is how a lot of traders and investors back up their decisions. So we do the fundamental research. And secondly, we need to look if we want to beat the market, we need to plot our entry price because you want to buy something on sale so that you can sell it at a higher price. So we all do this in the industry. And so again, fundamental research, you've done that. You want to get a cheaper price of the stock you like. Let's think about Ingham's, for example. So I might be having a look at Ingham's after I've done all my due diligence. And then I can see by clicking on the app, technical indicators on Moomoo, what's the sentiment indicator? That's what it's called. And it might tell you by looking at hundreds of technical indicators, you don't have to look at them, the app tells you. Is sentiment bullish or bearish? Meaning, is the stock likely to fall or rise in value, or vice versa? So if a company's share price is falling, or if it's down 10%, moving on to, let's say, BHP, for example, now would be a time where a lot of investment managers might be buying into BHP because it's a company that's driving Australia's switch to green metals, i.e. copper, and moving into potash, another commodity.
And even nickel, yeah. Even though nickel's been hit so hard lately, yeah.
Yeah, spot on. Mm. And also iron ore. I mean, we can't have iron ore without steel, or we can't have steel without iron ore, rather. So investment managers, they'll like a stock. Everyone likes BHP, for example. It's 11% of the ASX 200.
It's one of those must-have companies, really. You know,
totally.
A balanced portfolio.
Yeah, they've got a history of paying out strong dividends. So I can tell you a lot of investment managers that I know are looking to buy BHP, you know, once it hits its low. And so you can use our technical indicators and it will tell you, you know, it's still bearish for BHP. And then when the indicators change and it's looking bullish, you might decide to buy.
Can you set up alerts for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So that's really key as well. So you don't miss anything while you're busy working and doing whatever you do for a living. So yeah, absolutely. That is a key part of a company's share price moving as well. Trading.
Well, let's have a look at one more company before we wind up, and that's Square that you wanted to talk about. And I didn't realize how much of the payment system in the United States goes through Square, because you always hear about people Venmoing. But it's Square is the market leader, is it?
Yeah. So Square is the third most popular way to send money, whether you're paying for an Uber or whether you're paying for someone to take photos of you in the street, which happened to me in New York, by the way. So we know that Square, which is a company that bought Afterpay, Square make the majority of their money from the Cash app. And the other huge portion of revenue makeup is the Square app. And that's, you know, the little terminal that you tap on to pay for your meal with your friends or your wife, or you tap on Square to pay for a coffee, you tap on Square for your doctor visit. And we know all these prices are going up, they're not going down. And then thinking about diving into the detail, how are these payments by the consumer being made? And interestingly, 40% of Square's revenue comes from Bitcoin. And so we know the Bitcoin price hit a record all-time high overnight.
$69,000.
Yeah.
Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. Yeah, as we're recording this podcast, yeah, the Bitcoin price has hit records. So that means that Square's, you know, their revenue is going to continue to increase. And then also thinking about Square, they're rolling out new products. So they've just launched one of the first Bitcoin wallets. And so we know with the rise of Bitcoin after the SEC approved those 11 Bitcoin ETFs, every man and his dog can buy Bitcoin easily, just like buying a share or an ETF, which you can buy Bitcoin via ETF, by the way. But because of that, I guess, validation of Bitcoin, that means Bitcoin's price will continue to rise. And the use case of Bitcoin will probably rise. So just pausing on Bitcoin for a sec, we know you can, you know, buy a Tesla with Bitcoin. You can buy coffees with Bitcoin, flights, etc. But anyway, the backbone
there's
of the story.
There's a Vietnamese cafe in Redfern where you can pay for banh mi in Bitcoin.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's lots of ATMs in Indonesia as well that are just cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. So yeah, the use case is definitely increasing and that's on a strong growth trajectory as well. Anyway, what are we saying? Square's revenue is projected to increase across all of their business platforms. And that's because inflation, sure, it's coming down according to, you know, the numbers that we're looking at. Real inflation is coming down, but the inflation that you and I live and breathe, you know, the price of a coffee, the price of, you know, filling up your shopping trolley, the price of going to a doctor, that's not going down. And so Square is a key beneficiary of that through their Cash app and Square terminal. And also, thirdly, the Bitcoin price going up, that is benefiting Square's revenue. So I've got Square as one of the, I think, one of the hot stocks to watch in 2024.
So Jessica, we've just come out of reporting season, and this is a really important time of year for investors to understand. It happens twice a year, once every 6 months, and this is where companies are reporting about how well they've done in the previous 6 months. What is the feature, the earnings hub feature that Moomoo has that helps new investors understand what's going on there?
Yeah, good question. I'd say there's a couple things that I really like and find really valuable with our earnings hub. And the first one is the calendar. So you can go and have a look at the companies that are reporting over the coming weeks, months, and you can literally add the companies regardless of what exchange you're listed on, say US, Australia. You can add them to your calendar. So love that. And then on the day of their results, that'll pop up in your calendar, and then you can get their results just by clicking on that, and it'll take you back to Moomoo's platform. Once you're back on the platform, what I really like is, let's say Tesla just reported results. At a quick glance, you can see if a company has either met expectations, exceeded expectations, or missed expectations. If a company's results are better than expected, or they're bang on the money, as in met or exceed, then their shares will typically rally. They'll not only typically rally that day, but over the subsequent 3 months as well. And inversely, if we see disappointment, which again, you can easily see at a very quick glance on our earnings hub, if they disappointed, then their shares will very likely fall. And you'll typically see that soggy sentiment stick around for a couple of months as well.
Moomoo also offers 24-hour trading for US stocks so that any news during earnings can be quickly captured and traded before it's realised in normal trading hours. Tell us about this feature and how it benefits Australian investors.
I guess we've got to remember, you know, just like we're speaking about earnings season, a company's shares can be pretty volatile before the market opens and after the market closes. And so I guess that trading shouldn't just be available to institutional investors and fund managers.
And you don't want to be sitting up in the middle of the night in your pajamas No. trying to capture these moves.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. But so our platform, we give you access to trade 24 hours, 5 days a week on about 160 stocks. And some of those stocks are, you know, the blue chips that you all know and love in the Dow Jones. So let's say, for example, Nvidia. Nvidia shares initially fell after market hours. They initially fell because there was so much to go through in their earnings report. And then I think they fell, and then they quickly rebounded and they ended up 10% higher. So our clients could have bought into the weakness after they, say, fell 6% or so, and then they would have benefited from the jump of, say, 10%. And these movements are after market hours, when a lot of the big companies report, when they don't want to kind of disturb the peace.
Yeah, because they often report after the market closes, don't they? That's a very common time for them to report.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, very, very traditional for big companies to report after the market close. Even our companies as well, such as BHP and Rio Tinto, they will typically report after market hours.
Jessica, let's remind listeners again about the great deals being offered by clicking on the link in the episode description. And that's to do with the interest rate that's available for cash on deposit as you're trying to decide which shares and ETFs to buy, and as well the chance to win some free shares. Tell us about that deal again.
While you've got your cash parked in a trading account with Moomoo, you'll get 6.8% return. Pretty good, if I don't say so myself. So 6.8%, and that's paid for up to 180 days on balances up to $100,000. So don't go whacking in $1 million and expecting 6.8%, because we'll only pay that 6.8%.
I've got a little bit in my back pocket.
We only pay the 6.8% on up to $100,000. And the other offer is that when you deposit $2,000 into your Moomoo account, hold it there for 30 days, you'll get 10 free stocks valued up to $3,300. And that's basically, you know, T's and C's apply, but basically, you know, spinning for the chance to win 10 free stocks to the tune of up to $3,300, and they're 10 free US stocks as well. So you don't really know what you're going to get, but you'll get 10 free stocks.
You'll be in there with a chance.
Absolutely.
The other thing about that as well is even a $100 deposit will give you the chance to win up to 3 stocks as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's always something with Moomoo. We're always offering something. When you whack in $100, you can get 3 free stocks as well, which is great.
So if listeners are interested, they can click on the link in the description, which will take you straight to the Moomoo page where they can sign up and take advantage of this great deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet deal.
Jessica Amir, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Phil.
Thanks for listening to Shares for Beginners. You can find more at sharesforbeginners.com. If you enjoy listening, please take a moment to rate or review in your podcast player or tell a friend who might want to learn more about investing for their future.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Moomoo, the Money Magazine online broker, Rising Star Gold winner, providing highly competitive brokerage rates in Australia. Moomoo offers you 10 chances to win one of 6 US shares, valued at up to a total of $3,300 for eligible deposits. Simply click the link in the description to claim your shares. Game of chance offered under New South Wales permit TP/01819. T's and C's apply.